Today is Christ the King Sunday. The lessons are from Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 20, and the Gospel according to Luke chapter 23, verses 27 through 43. Today's message is titled, See the King on the Cross. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether the things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Here ends our lesson. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter, beginning at the 27th verse. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if men do things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood around watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine and vinegar and said, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was written a notice above him which read, This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who was hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thou hast given us thy word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teaching, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On a hill, just outside the city, a gathering of several people was silhouetted by their early morning light. Preparations being made for another round of so-called Roman justice. The early morning air was already crackling with the noise of great crowds winding their way through the narrow streets. The city already bursting at the seams with thousands upon thousands and thousands more coming as pilgrims for the high holy days at the temple. Now was stirring from the movement of the Roman guards, guiding and driving three prisoners through the narrow thoroughfares toward the city gate. Mourning and wailing was heard. Jeers and ridicule were heard too. And on the procession went towards the hill known as the Skull, the place where preparations were already in full swing for the arrival of these three. Taking much longer than normal to drive the prisoners from the garrison, what is the delay? Word reaches the hill that one of the prisoners keeps falling down, weak and weary from the scourging. And then laughter breaks out amongst the guards at the pitiful weakness of the man. Come on, hurry up! The guards have had enough. Bursting into the crowd, they grab a man that seems up to the task of carrying the beam. His muscled arm and legs, they will certainly help move things along more quickly. Come, you, carry. At the hill, the executioners are awaiting, nails and hammers in hand. Another day, another job for them to do. Swinging the hammers in great and mighty arcs to strike the long metal spike, driving it through flesh into the wooden beam. Up is raised the first criminal. Up is raised the second criminal. Up is raised the third criminal. The one in the middle, just above his head. You know that head that's encircled with that crown of thorns? Just above his head is a sign that reads, "This is the King of the Jews." Yet Paul preaches, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. A few verses later, Paul reiterates again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The cross standing on the hill with Christ, silhouetted against the sky. Above His head, that thorn-crowned head, the sign, "This is the King of the Jews." The King, the Christ, the crucified one. It makes no sense. Usually history shows the way that an army has been completely defeated is to kill the king publicly. Death is defeat. Yet the moments of that event, this historical event, are not defeat. That's what we proclaim. They're not defeat, but the greatest victory over all things. That death is victory. Victory over death. In that historical moment of Jesus dying on the cross, a great wonder buried and hidden in the deep mysteries of God's own established order was happening. In the moments of fading breath and the redeeming work and the will of the living God was happening such that before and after would be forever separated by the cross on which the King of the Jews was nailed and dying. As C.S. Lewis envisions and writes in his The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Aslan was slain in the place of a traitor, Edmund, on the stone table as the law demanded. The next day, the table is found cracked and Aslan very much alive. Aslan explains, if she had known the deeper magic, she would have known that if a willing victim who had committed no treachery were killed in a traitor's stead, then the deep magic would unravel. The stone table would crack and death itself would start working backwards. The hidden things of mercy, compassion, the loving kindness of God abounding in grace, written and put in place before time and creation. These things were expressed to Moses as the Lord walked past him, displaying his glory. It's recorded and written in Exodus 34, beginning of verse 5. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And now, on that hill outside the wall of the city, as the nails were driven, the Son says, it's written in Luke chapter 23, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Indeed, in the mystery of God's established order, forgiveness has come. Forgiveness has come at the price of the life of the Son, the King. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That he is the Father. And it is the Father who has rescued us. The Greek word translated as rescued means to snatch out for oneself. That is to deliver out of danger to oneself, for oneself. The Father has delivered out of danger to bring to himself, for himself. That is so powerful. To himself, for himself. Placing the Father right in the middle of the center of this redeeming grace. Delivered from the dominion. Dominion means delegated power operating in a designated jurisdiction. Really easy way to understand that is the dominion of a county sheriff is to that specific county. A county sheriff has authority to operate only in that specific county. The authority is limited. The authority is limited to a designated area. That's what dominion means. And here the dominion of darkness is a limited authority. From that dominion of darkness, the Father rescues us to himself, for himself, by placing us in the kingdom of the Son, whom he loves. Brought us into. It's better translated as transferred or translated, which in the Greek means cause to change place. By the Father's action, one is rescued from the dominion of darkness, the dominion of the evil one, and placed in the kingdom of the Son, the beloved of him, the Father, in whom is the Son. So in the Son, we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. This translated is radical for the rescued believer. For you're not only delivered from the penalty of sin, You're completely removed from the penalty of sin. Hence, you're redeemed. I'm going to say that again so you really help understand it. Not only is the penalty of sin taken from you, that's been paid for by Christ, you're completely removed from any power of the penalty of sin over you. For you are redeemed. That's the power of being moved from the kingdom of dominion of darkness completely into the kingdom of the Son, whom the Father loves, where the dominion of darkness has no power or authority ever again. Never will, never was. I mean, this is amazing. Redemption. Redemption is released by payment. The payment was the perfect blood of the Son dying as the perfect sacrifice for sin. And as such, forgiveness is there with the releasing of and sending away of the debt of sin. The debt of sin is completely removed from you, for Christ has paid it all. See the King on the cross doing for you and for all humanity that only He, the King, can do. For Jesus is the King. And from Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15, hear who Jesus fully is. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Only the beloved Son can be this King, for only in Him, Jesus is the fullness of God, and at the same time, the fullness of humanity. Can I explain this? Fully God, fully human, this Jesus truly was? No, not at all. I cannot explain it. That is the mystery of the incarnation. When the eternal fullness of God enters into the finite of creation as a baby through conception in the Virgin Mary. See the King on the cross, learning what is happening in the moment as He, Jesus, gives up His breath into the Father's hand. Step again into that historical moment as darkness now envelops the land. So you see the King on the cross, silhouetted by flickering flames of the centurion torches and fires set up to dispel some of the midday darkness. Luke 23, beginning at verse 44. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole world until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When He said this, He breathed His last. Sixth hour, that's noontime. Ninth hour, 3 p.m. in the afternoon. The temple curtain, 20 feet wide, 60 feet tall, 4 inches thick, demonstrating that a miracle of God happened in the tearing from the top to the bottom. Tearing what separated the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant sat with the mercy seat, that is the atonement cover of the Ark, that's where it sat. Now, with the curtain torn, nothing to separate us from God. Nothing to separate us from God. Paul expresses this well in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 38. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is what the King on the cross has done. Destroyed completely and forever the separation from God with He Himself, Jesus the Christ, the King and Lord, the only way into the presence of God the Father. Colossians 1, now at verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. You are so removed from the penalty of sin, you are made holy and brought into the very presence of God. The King on the cross has done this. The King on the cross, dead. His body was limp and lifeless, proven by the spear being pierced into His body in fulfillment of Isaiah 53, verse 5. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the council, asked Pilate for the body of the King of the Jews. Receiving permission, Joseph takes the body, wraps it, and places it in the new rock-cut tomb, rolling the stone in place. The end. So they thought. Far, far from being the end. No, this is the beginning. The beginning of new life. The King on the cross has defeated death. Death could not hold Him. Peter preaches on Pentecost Sunday from Acts chapter 2, beginning of verse 23. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. God's set purpose and foreknowledge. Let that sink in. And you, with the help of wicked men, put Him to death by nailing Him to the cross. But God raised Him from the dead, freeing Him from the agony and death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on Him. Jumping down to verse 36 of chapter 2 of Acts. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. A little while later, Peter testifies before the Sanhedrin after healing the cripple. It's written in Acts chapter 4, and I begin at verse 10. Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Peter and the others know this with certainty, for they were there, eyewitnesses. The crucified one is the risen one, and they know this one will come again. For they were there, Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. After He, that is Jesus, said this, He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid Him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as He was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood amongst them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen Him go into heaven. this same Jesus will come back. See the King on the cross, a stumbling block for many, and for many, the greatest gift ever given, redeeming grace and forgiveness of sin. Which is it for you as you look and see the King on the cross? Is it a stumbling block? Is it confusion and questions? Or the greatest of love ever known there expressed on the cross through redeeming grace? Surrender. Surrender and say, Jesus, you are my King. Surrender and say, Jesus, you are my Lord. And fall down in worship as you say, Jesus, you are the Christ, the crucified and risen Lord and King, now and forevermore. See the King on the cross and know Jesus being there is redeeming your soul. That is the price of redeeming your soul. Redeeming love, redeeming grace, full of mercy and compassion the Father has for you. Now is the time to respond. Respond. Bow down in worship of the great and glorious things God has done in redeeming your soul. Amen and amen.